wherever you go, however you go. For energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hello, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And this is Roast Chestnuts, a podcast where we review made-for-TV Christmas movies.
Yay.
Because we like Christmas movies.
We really do.
We have a guest as well today to help us out. It's illustrator Fuchsia McCree.
Hiya.
Hello. Welcome to the very first Roast Chestnuts.
Thanks for having me.
So, shall we just dive in?
I chose this movie out. It's called A Princess for Christmas. It's a Hallmark TV movie from 2011 or 12, one of those years. And it stars Katie McGrath, an Irish actress, and Sam Heughan, who we'll just call Jamie from Outlander from here on in, because that's who he is. And it is about Katie McGrath, has a terrible American accent in it. She's really good looking, she's really talented, but her accent is not good. And she's based in Buffalo, where she works in an antiques shop, and she's being fired on Christmas Eve. And then a butler shows up at her house.
A butler called, very importantly, Paisley Winterbottom.
Yes.
Which is an excellent butler name.
Shows up at her house to say that the children she looks after, her niece and nephew who lost their parents last year, are invited to go home to some vague country in Europe for Christmas.
Yeah, he said near Liechtenstein.
Yes.
And then every year there was English.
Yes.
So I thought maybe I'd misheard him. He said near Leicestershire. But it was definitely Liechtenstein, wasn't it?
It's a made-up European
And that
country.
Would be either in Switzerland or Austria then. So just say Switzerland or Austria, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it's Nazi gold. They're Nazi gold family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're invited home and she's like, no, the family threw my brother-in-law out for falling for an American lady and you can go get stuffed. And then the kids are like, let's go to the castle. Mm-hmm. And they go.
Because they're troubled.
Yeah. They're bereaving and the boy's robbing games from a shop.
And telling the sister that Santa doesn't exist.
Yeah, he's fucked up.
He's a terror.
And so they go, and who is the grandfather but Roger Moore? And he's like a prince or something, and he's really mean, and he's got issues. And then his other son is Sam Heughan and Jamie from Outlander. And that's the beginning of the plot.
Yeah. So did anything stand out for you, Fuchsia, in that first act?
Yeah, well, first thing I really liked, antique shop was called Antiques and Stuff, mm-hmm. which is really just like giving up.
It's like we're not gonna pretend that everything here is a genuine antique. Some
just
stuff.
Like miscellaneous.
There's
just
some stuff
of it's
we got
worth money. Some of it isn't. We're not going to tell you.
Some
which.
Of it came with cornflake boxes.
We're just, yeah.
And did you notice her manager had really weird hair?
Mm.
Yeah,
that was a strange choice. He was like from a different film. He was like an old bar owner from an 80s, like from Cocktail or something. Was
he looked like, what are those brothers that do the musicals? And one of them was in Mulan, the Osmonds. He looked like a knockoff Osmond.
Yeah. He did.
And he was really giving it his all as well, which was really stressful. Because you're kind of thinking like, oh, he really wanted this part.
Yeah, because like, he knew that was his one scene. We didn't know that.
So yeah. No,
like. And he was so cruel in it, firing her on Christmas. Mm. Like
the week before Christmas.
The week before Christmas, yeah.
Which you think would be big in the antiques world. You know, there's a lot of presents being bought then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's his, like, he said,
only employee.
He said she was the best sales girl he's ever had.
Yeah.
So firing
sales girl.
Could
have had some guys who were better.
That's true. She knew her stuff though.
I really liked when it opened, there was like this sweeping camera angle of all the festive baubles and clocks in the shop of antiques and stuff. That was pretty good. And then you have Paisley Winterbottom?
Winterbottom, yeah.
Yeah, just lurking outside. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Go on.
Then the next scene is the the little girl, I forget her name. I thought she was actually a good actress in it. Of all these actors who are children in these movies, there's a lot of bad ones. Mm. Yeah. And that's not their fault. They're like five.
They've done maybe two ads ever and then they're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're being given words that adults say, like, you know, they're, so I don't really mind bad child actors. But she was actually really good. But I found it like immediately the peanut butter and jelly thing. Like I've never, you know, all my years, I still have never had that combination.
Yeah.
That's very American, I think.
I think I might have insisted on it. I was about six or seven. From hearing it in American TV shows, like we have to try this now and see what it's like.
And did you have jelly rather than jam?
No, it was jam. There was no jelly.
Is jelly not jam?
There's something different about it, isn't there? It's set or something with gelatin.
Isn't this like a facts video?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this jelly tastes like
jam.
Horses. Yeah. How likely do we think that a prince from Liechtenstein, from near Liechtenstein, would have a child called Milo?
Yeah, big time.
And one called Maddie.
And maybe the butler kept saying very American things as well, of like, no way, that's rad, and stuff like that.
Butler stuff. Yeah. But
maybe the deceased prince from near Liechtenstein wanted to like get rid of all that heritage, stuffy heritage. So he was like, I'll just pick like dog names for my children. seeing as they are never going to be prince and princess.
Yeah.
Prince Milo's a terrible name.
He sounds like a puppy prince from something, yeah.
Yeah. Some like terrible music artist called Prince Milo.
Prince Milo, yeah.
So I really liked Katie McGrath's wardrobe throughout this entire movie. I felt it was really like when I was in college, that's what you wore and you were like kind of snuggly boho and you thought you were really cool.
It felt very of its like exactly of its time.
Yeah, like the belted dresses
and
the mustard colour, which mustard does not suit Irish skin. I will dispute this until my dying day. So like, or the Kylie dresses. No.
Never.
Yeah, she had like a coffee dress with the belt and Christmas patterns. That was really good. It was a good
mustard. That was lovely. That's for the dinner,
Yeah.
Orange as well, I like that.
Yeah. Really bringing a bit of life to that big old castle, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was. I did think she was good in it, and she did look amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Also, though, because I didn't know she was Irish, and all the way through, she would like start sounding English and then sound American again. I was really stressed.
Yeah, you see, I knew she was Irish because, plot twist, Katie McGrath interned at the same company I interned at, but not at the same time. So, I would have known about Katie McGrath for years from that company because people would have mentioned, oh sure, Katie McGrath was in here, but she was only in there for a few weeks. I think she was interning in the fashion department. It was a women's magazine, Image, and so I've been following her career.
Do you think,
because I'm psychotic,
like a sliding doors kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, maybe I could have been Katie McGrath. But she also was in the recent series from BBC, I think it was BBC, Merlin, where she played Morgan Le Fay.
Okay.
And it wasn't a great series. It was very childlike. The Guinevere and Lancelot romance never really sparked King Arthur, and it was quite good looking though.
It was in like the Doctor Who slot, wasn't it? So it was, it was kind of child.
It
for
was
children.
For kids.
Yeah.
And they didn't really explore all the evil and kind of incestuous stuff and weirdness. And then she was in the recent King Arthur movie for like 5 minutes.
Huh.
So, did you see the recent King Arthur movie? I think I was one of the very few people I know who
I didn't
see it.
No. So. I saw the trailer and I felt like I'd seen it.
Oh,
it was just people throwing stuff at each other from giant catapults for 2 hours pretty
much.
Yeah,
and it's got this kind of like Celtic rock soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and lots of grey and a lot of because there's like one girl, she's an enchantress, like she's in the head of the eagle or something. Mm. And so there's a lot of those kind of shots where the eagle's flying over loads of people, CGI people. And Jude Law plays an evil prince, but Jude Law is Katie McGrath's husband. And at the very beginning, I'm not spoiling anything because you know Jude Law is going to be evil in it and Charlie Hunnam's going to be the good guy because Charlie Hunnam has more hair. So at the very beginning, Eric Bana is like killed or something by Jude Law to get like the Lady of the Lake or something to give him some prize, the crown or the power over the people. And then he takes Katie McGrath down and kills her as well, his wife, because he's got to give up something he loves. So he gives up his wife and Katie McGrath is like, just stabbed in the first 10 minutes. It's But she's now in the Supergirl TV series, which I haven't watched yet, but it's on my list of things to watch.
I watched the first two episodes on a plane.
Was it good?
Yeah, enjoyed it a lot. There was a plane crash in it, which is never a good thing to watch on a plane. But I don't think, I'm not sure if she was in that yet. But it's, yeah, it's enjoyable.
I mean, she's in it like recently enough. Yeah, she's at Comic-Con recently because I looked her up there online. But what else I really liked about this movie is, and all these movies, in fact, the Christmas TV movies, because people mock them for being corny, but they really explore financial stress a lot. So in this movie, like, you know, she's, her car is not working. She's lost her job.
The car did like just like dunk really gently into some bins and then stop working, which is quite nice.
It was a really bad car. Yeah. So I really like that because you don't see that in a lot of movies. Like you don't see financial stress in a lot of high budget Hollywood movies.
That's true. No, it tends to be more stuff focused towards women, tends to be more about money. I'm thinking of like Gilmore Girls, the first thing that pops into my mind where money is a major concern.
Yeah,
you don't it's get like, and like, well, Entourage. No, they're all just fine all the time with money and Entourage, which is the male Gilmore Girls.
That was such a bad show. Yeah. Me and Roisin Kiver went to see that in the cinema.
Oh, really?
We got free tickets. And Roisin kept like openly mocking the cheering and the boys at the, this is like a preview screen. They got so annoyed with her. It was so good that we ruined their viewing of Entourage. Yeah, the car bit, what are notes here that I like from the beginning?
I couldn't figure out how much of like a rube Jules was supposed to be because she's like an antiques expert, but also she's never walked on a waxed floor before in her life. She just can't handle walking on floor. Yeah. She falls over twice in the first like 10 minutes on a floor.
was like the floor as a character was very good.
Yeah. It's almost like, yeah, you're against the world of the floor. Yeah.
What is a waxed floor?
Really shiny?
Yeah, you know those kind of big round buffery things?
Okay.
Yeah. So she's never walked on one of those before.
Posh floors.
It's like posh floors.
We just use the stuff under the sink.
Just spray a bit of Mr. Sheen around and mop it up.
A bit of a mop.
Yeah.
Also, she reads romance novels, which I know you think is good for you, but is generally a signifier in these kind of films of a low class temperament, I would say.
Well, I'm super high class.
Exactly.
Weren't they kind of put out by the her trashy novels?
Yeah, the maid was like looking at them, kind of judging her. Mm. Which I really, this is a mean comment, but I really don't think the maid was in a position to judge anyone when she had what I call shopping centre red hair. So do you remember when you're a teenager and the people who would hang out in the shopping centre, the teenagers, there was always a girl and they always had really box dyed red hair. Mm-hmm. That the colour fades after a while.
Yeah.
So like she had that kind of hair and I was like, you can't judge a girl for reading a bodice ripper or a Mills and Boons.
But all three of them had suitcases full of secrets because Milo and Maddie both would not allow them to unpack.
The balls of...
they're all smuggling
Maddie
stuff.
Like who was really into crisps.
Yeah.
Which like...
That came out of nowhere at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, remember she had the problem with the crisps? No, I don't.
Because she just liked some
like
crisps.
Specifically trans fats dimension. She has a real problem with trans fats, this 5-year old.
Yeah. And actually the she's trans fat shamed at the end. Mm. But I'd say maybe the creators of this didn't really take this into regard, but there are differences in the EU and American laws with trans fats. In that I think they're pretty much more banned in the EU. They might be completely banned in the EU.
I think they are,
She was full on smuggling them in then. Okay.
It's like bringing a dog to Australia. But like, I think that might have, there might be kind of an EU type shape.
And she would have been aware of that as well, I guess.
Of course. As a child, Maddie would certainly have been aware of the EU and US trans fats debacle.
She knew not to have it in her hand luggage.
It's like there is a difference in storing eggs between Europe and America. So in America, a lot of people put their eggs in the fridge. And that's because the eggs of how they're processed. So sometimes they're like, they're washed more. So that means they're more porous. So it's like you can get eggs, salmonella from eggs is like a big thing in the States.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's not really here. Mm. And it's just to do with how the eggs are processed.
Okay. Basically, EU eggs are illegal in America and American eggs are illegal here because they wash them and we don't.
Yeah.
And there's kind of disagreement which is the better one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're better, to be honest. Our eggs, our eggs are nicer.
And they're also those like white, which makes them seem less healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real sci-fi.
Yeah. They also don't have egg cups, but that's another story.
That's so weird.
Yeah. How do they eat a boiled egg?
Just rolling around on the
plate. They don't eat boiled eggs. That's the thing. If they eat hard-boiled eggs, they don't have soft-boiled eggs in America.
Huh.
And they think we're weird for not for eating soft-boiled eggs. Because they're scared of the yolk, of running
yes.
yolk.
Yes, salmonella. Oh, so it all yeah. ties in together.
Yeah. Also, Jules is freakishly strong. She rips a sconce off a wall without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
She just rips that sucker off the wall.
Maybe moving antiques her entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's probably built up upper arm strength there.
When I worked on Knopf license carrying boxes of wine all day, I did have good arms. Yeah.
So.
You don't even realise it. So then they go to dinner. And the first dinner's a disaster. Because Roger Moore is just having none of it.
This was Roger Moore's second last film,
I believe, before he died.
They say it's the last in the Wikipedia page, but mm-hmm. then he's credited in some TV reboot of The Saint.
Oh, okay.
Was he doing a lot of this kind of thing, like TV
no,
movies?
No, he hasn't done a lot in like from the noughties onwards. He had a health scare, I believe, in his heart a couple of years ago. Mm. But also he'd had a lot of money from James Bond and stuff. He yeah. owned a lot of properties around the world. So he was just retired and really enjoying himself. Mm. Hanging out with Jackie Collins, I imagine. Yeah. Or no, Joan Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
Joan will be hanging out now in Joan's the Riviera.
More his speed, yeah.
Yeah.
Joan, he does sit down a lot in this as well. Or standing very still. Mm. There's nothing really active or demanding for it.
Yeah, and his character is an old grumpy man, so he just, you know, mm-hmm. take a glance at the script. Yeah. For it.
Just to go back, I had a note here about the romance novels thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just spent the entire morning talking about romance novels with somebody. and they were like, how do you know so much about this? And I was like, I just do. But when she's hiding her romance novels from the maid, I have a story involving me hiding romance novels at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So me and Dan were in the library bar and I was reading a book and we were meant to be going somewhere, like some stupid art gallery opening or something, mm-hmm. wherever there was free alcohol. We were waiting in the library bar for something to begin and he was reading a magazine article or something and I was reading on my Kindle and then I put my Kindle down and it was like kind of when Dan first realised I wasn't reading John Ronson on my Kindle or Zadie Smith. And he was like, what the fuck are you reading? And it was like called The Duke of Shadows. And he was like, what is this? And I was like, give me that back. But it's actually a really good book that tackles the Raj in India, the mutiny in India during Queen Victoria's reign and how British policies there were evil. So romance novels are really cool. That's all I want to say.
You always talk about romance novels that have very specific social themes that aren't covered anywhere else.
Loads of really specific social themes. Like, I've read romance novels. More people living in trailer homes and romance novels than like I've read in any other book anywhere else. Like, they really cover poverty and addiction and all this sort of stuff way more. Like, there's opiate abuse in romance novels more than there are in normal books. Mm. So they're really good and they're on the button. And you also learn loads about, like, if a girl in a romance novel works in marketing, you learn loads about marketing because they've got like a pitch to get through and then there's like an evil person in the company stealing their pitch. So they're really, really good.
And you get a bit of romance in there as well.
Yeah, a bit of riding too.
Yeah, a bit of something spicy.
But yeah, no, I love reading ones about the Victorian era and that's like the British Empire.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good ones.
See, I would have thought that they were all kind of set in like Victorian times or like big country houses.
Some are. There are, like, if you want that, you can get that. But if you want meaty ones, you can get really good ones. Alyssa Cole is another one who tackles race issues a lot. So she has one out at the moment called An Extraordinary Union. It's about a girl who's an escaped slave during the Civil War. But then she's sent back undercover and she's got to be a slave again.
Okay.
And that's a good one.
Good tip.
Yeah. So you learn all about like the Underground Railroad and stuff. Mm. I learned more about like the Civil War from romance novels than I did in Irish history lessons.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. Are there any Ra themed romance novels? Or 1916?
Even present day troubles? Yeah. Like,
no, they don't touch Northern Ireland, I'll say. Yeah. That's the that's one flaw now. I'll give them that.
Gap no, in the market maybe?
Yeah. No, there's definitely a raw gap in the market. You do have, like, in historic romance novels, the Fenians are mentioned a lot. Okay. Sometimes the Fenians are like baddies, which I don't like. That's a book that I'll put down. And then you'll have one where the Fenians are like the good guys and they justify a lot of the male characters' kind of personality traits and why he's not big into the season in London, which is when you used to go socialise and stuff. Mm. But no, there's no Ra team once.
Yet.
I'll ask the message boards. So, yeah, what else now? Sam Heughan also was at the dinner.
Yes, we finally got our first sight of Sam Heughan.
He originally arrives in this tiny red car.
Does.
Yeah.
What's that signify?
Don't know.
Pretty cool guy.
Cool guy. Yeah.
And she's doing, is that where she's looking out the window? And it's the whole buzz when everyone else is wearing their like really formal clothes. That's, and she's just the cool American girl in the t-shirt.
That's the next day,
when they go hunting.
The, the other woman is there.
Yeah.
Abigail. Is it Abigail? No, Annabelle.
Annabelle, yeah. With her curly blonde hair, therefore she's evil. And yeah, what happens at the dinner again?
It's just awkward, I think, isn't it?
They all sit at one side of the table.
Yes, they do. For some, yeah, they do.
And then there's just some classic kind of emotional repression going on.
Yeah. Maddie whispering about how mean he is.
Yeah.
Is that where they say they're not doing Christmas as well? I think it is.
Yeah, they don't decorate for Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he doesn't like the smell of trees. Mm-hmm. So he could just get an artificial tree.
But he probably doesn't have a sense of smell. He's that old in this.
Yeah, yeah. He could just be in a different part of the house.
It's also really weird that her love interest is basically her brother-in-law.
I do like how much they bring up like, oh, but we're not technically related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice bit of foreshadowing there.
It's like being in like Tipperary or Clare. Or
we're not blood related. Wing.
Like that app they have in Iceland, apparently, is it?
Oh, to see if you are related to someone.
Have I told you about the time when me and Carla were going out a year and both of our parents were at the same funeral? And they're like, how do you know him? And my parents are like, how do you know him? And it turned out he'd been married to my mother's grand aunt and my mother-in-law's grand aunt. But he wasn't blood related to either of them. He was the non-blood relation marriage on both of them. So we were like in-laws, twice removed or something. But it was a tense hour because they rang us and went, we're both at the same funeral. We're like, wait, what? Because we've been out a year by then. We were 17.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh God. But then they figured it out and rang us back and go, you're grand, you're okay.
Like, Dan's mother's family aren't from too far where I'm from, but I'm just not going to do that research.
No, if you go back far enough, there will be some.
Yeah, we're all related.
They're from Kilbeggan and I'm from like North Tip, not too far from the Offaly border. And I'm like, you might even have kids.
Don't pull that thread. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and his name's Ashton in it, which I hate.
Yeah.
Just call him Jamie from Outlander, even though he hasn't been cast yet.
So in Outlander, is he the main guy in Outlander?
Oh my gosh. In Outlander.
Okay.
He is so incredible.
Buckle up.
Like, but there's scenes in this where I can see the foreshadowing for him in Outlander, because like he looks like Katie McGrath, like she's the most interesting person on earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anytime she talks, he's just like so broody and just like staring at her. Mm-hmm. In Outlander, he's like that times 1,000.
Okay.
So in Outlander, I'll explain Outlander to people because they really should be watching it. It's like the best TV show on earth. And it's made by the guy who made Battlestar Galactica. So it's got pretty good heritage there. And it is about a nurse after World War II, and she's on her honeymoon with her husband, an English man named Frank. She's English too. And she's played by Irish actress Katrina Balfe. They go on a honeymoon to Scotland and they're driving through Scotland trying to reconnect after the war kept them apart. Then they go visit some standing stones one day, and then Claire, the woman in Outlander, goes back to the standing stones to pick up a flower or something, but she hears some buzzing and she goes, stands beside the buzzing stone and then touches it and ends up back in 17th century Scotland.
I hate when that happens.
And the Brits are really evil back then. Like, all they're doing is pillaging and being assholes. So she's got to hang out with the Scottish clansmen, and they take her in, and she's kind of hostage there, but like in a good way, like that they're taking care of her. But then the evil British soldier in it, who is an ancestor of her husband back in 1947 or whatever, and looks the exact same as him, same actor, you know, and so he then starts like hunting her down, whatever. So they force her to marry a young clansman who's a couple of years younger than her. And it's Sam Heughan, Jamie from Outlander. And he's got long hair and he's just wearing a kilt the entire time, covered in dirt.
Does he have a Scottish accent in it?
Yes, but it's proper Scottish. Like, it's, his accent in real life is quite mild.
Yeah.
But he's just in it and he's playing shinty in scenes. And he's also been, his whole back is covered in scars. And she's got to like tend to him because the scars are caused by the Brits. When they arrested him.
Is he bigger in it?
Oh, he's like, yeah, he's huge.
Okay,
because like,
I didn't associate him with that character, yeah.
So I watched this as soon as he got cast. Yeah, he is the hunk of television at the moment. And then they're forced to get married, and there's a scene where Claire is like freaking out, and she's like, I don't want to get married to anybody. Mm-hmm. And she's like, does it not bother you that I'm a virgin? And he's just there in a Scottish accent, which I'm not going to do, because he goes, no, as long as it doesn't bother you that I'm one of us should know what we're doing. And that's like the end of the sixth episode. And you're just like watching it after binging. You're like, this is the best TV show on earth. So this goes to Jamie and Claire falling in love, mm-hmm. back in the past, trying to avoid the Brits. And it's a great show.
And is she skipping back and forth like Goodnight Sweetheart, or is it?
No.
Okay.
So I can't spoil it. That's the first season. There's two more now at the moment.
Okay. And is she content with being back there then? She's like, this is me now.
Like, she obviously misses penicillin.
Yeah.
But, and it's fairly sexist.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere you walk, there is Nell Tret.
Yeah,
But season four, Maria Dole Kendi from the recent Juvenile episode is going to be in it. She's playing Jocasta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Jamie is Sam Heughan. And Sam Heughan's in this. And the reason I watched this TV movie years ago was because he'd been cast. And I was like, who is this guy? I've got to find out everything about him. And this is one of the few kind of movies he'd done. He hadn't done much TV work. He's a theatre actor mainly. So this is one of the few kind of things you could find of him online.
He's very good in this.
I like a good him. Actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Any more notes on the dinner?
Any more notes on dinner?
We have a very important village visit to get through.
some orphans coming up.
Yeah.
I really liked at one stage when they're going to the village, hasn't the car got like an EU flag on it?
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got like a little fake EU flag on it.
Just to like drill home that they're not in America anymore?
Yeah. Why? But then I was like, was Roger Moore like Brexit or not Brexit?
I think he was Brexit.
Because I know Joan Collins, his friend, we've decided is his friend, was Brexit. Friend. And didn't she say it was because of the light bulbs?
Oh, possibly, yeah.
Like, I think it was the light bulbs. But he seems like someone who might have been Brexit.
He's a 70s James Bond, so.
Yeah.
That seems the most Brexit-y caricature you could be. The orphans get a rough old time of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, when Maddie says they're orphans like us, and Joe says, yeah, but you have me. The implication being, not like those fuckers. They got no one. They have nobody.
There's maybe some signs in English in the town, which is another little nod to this kind of British territory they've got going on there.
It is like, it's like Wee Britain from Arrested Development.
Yeah, totally.
Milo gets punched in the face by a particularly loud orphan.
But Milo overreacts to that football.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought
maybe he's never seen one before.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get like hit by that football, and then there'd be a touching moment where he has friends
he
to
kicks
play
the football
with.
Yeah.
And they all get on really well.
They start a football team. And he sounds like an orphan superstar soccer player.
Yeah, maybe ahead of the team in whatever country this
so
is.
So aggressive. I did not like that child.
No.
Yeah.
Is he, we'll save his amazing t-shirt for later. But yes, I can't understand the costume decision behind his. Let's just say it. He has a Die Yuppie Scum t-shirt that he wears for the last half hour of the film.
Which, like, I had no idea what point they were making by him wearing that.
No. What point he thought he was making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was just into like big tellies.
Yeah.
Like just being a classic teenager.
He just really hates Wall Street.
And
80s Britain, rich people.
But he's into the whole castle buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But also Die Yuppie Scum.
Yeah.
The castle was so obviously like a set at times.
Mm.
Like the beds didn't have, you know, headboards and stuff.
Oh.
Sorry. I was like, you won't be able to read a book comfortably by candlelight there.
No. I was into Roger Moore's like silky sheets though.
Yes, like, and his gigantic cushion that's like the size of him that gets breakfast served onto him. Yeah.
Do you remember the bit when Roger Moore says to Sam Heughan about, you're my only living son at one stage, like implying you're not my favourite son?
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough.
I didn't really explore a lot of like...
No, like why had Ashton disappointed him? He seemed like a very good son. Like, he's there, brought
showing
his car.
Up. And also like the hunt wasn't... Like, you know, he seemed like a pretty nice boy, like he didn't want to hunt animals.
Yeah, because it was a drag hunt rather than a real hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, handsome, young, tall lad.
I liked it the bit when she said, like, something about, oh, like, do you hunt a fox? He said, no, we hunt a man. Whoa!
Okay. The most dangerous game. Yeah.
This just took a turn. And his very confident white hunting trousers as well. Fair play to all of them.
Yeah.
They look like a great period advert in those.
Because when you go around the Midlands, where I'm from, there's a lot of people who hunt. And, you know, some people are justified in doing it. They're Protestants. Mm-hmm. But other people are just taking the soup. And you don't see many good legs in white trousers.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of on their way to gout.
Yeah.
Gout legs.
He pulled it off, though, so fair play to him.
And then Sam Heughan, being like this really good son, decides to look after Milo's aggression by taking him to archery.
Teaching him how to kill.
Yeah.
All he needed was like just a male kind of tutor to teach him how to kill. And
To hunt the man. Yeah.
Okay, so you aim at the man, so the butler
Paisley,
running across.
Paisley, stand over there.
But that scene reminded me of like a YA franchise that someone tried to start, where like a young child is taught how to do archery in like a forest, and then like it didn't get picked up. That like the movie was a flop, like kind of a Dragonheart meets
Hunger Games,
thing. Or no, what was that thing about the dragon? It had a blue cover. Aragorn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Remember Aragorn?
Yeah,
that didn't take off.
No, did they do a second film of that? Probably not.
No,
I don't know.
They're doing a fourth film of the Divergent series though for TV because they'd bought the rights.
Huh.
But I don't know who's in it.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, they're very bad.
I welled up it a bit in this in the middle. I wasn't expecting it. It took me by surprise this morning, I think, when Roger Moore gets given the Christmas decoration from Maddie, which happens just before that.
It's very good.
Yeah.
And I think it completely changes him entirely.
Even though they did decorate the whole tree pretty much and then found this one, we're told it was his favourite one. And then Maddie goes up and says, "We saved this for you." Come on, Maddie.
Maddie's
manipulative.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But she said the right thing to him. It really worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the maids turn around on hating Christmas and then loving it.
Yeah, that was very sudden.
Yeah,
it was.
She turned sour.
It was supposed to be like a comedic jump cut to her suddenly bawling about Christmas, but then the story she told was really, really sad.
Yeah,
about getting a stocking or a coal in her stocking and stuff.
I'm pretty sure my mum's dad did that to him one year as a laugh.
I think it's down to my dad as well. Actually,
yeah.
I think I was thinking this like 60s and 70s to do with the children.
Yeah, I'd say
and
like
then have the real presents or like
yeah, no, yeah. It.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'd say Christmas in 60s or 70s Ireland. Like was grim.
There was definitely like the orange and apple in the stocking was like the thing. I know my father definitely had that.
Yeah.
And he's only in his 50s. So.
Yeah, my mum's the same, but I'm pretty sure her dad, who was a character, gave them coal one year for a laugh and then brought out the other presents.
Yeah.
So the bit where they are discussing so they're holding the big ball, Christmas Eve ball in the plot. And this is the first time it's been done in ages. And it's because Roger Moore has kind of defrosted. So Sam Heughan's in charge of, / Ashton is in charge of running it. And then Arabella, his bitchy girlfriend, they are discussing the menu. And they're like, "Oh, do you want like salmon or this?" And she just goes, "I want caviar."
Yeah, like, that wasn't
we all want caviar, Arabella. Like, yeah. Relax.
But I love that like, that's to signify, oh, she's a bitch.
Yeah. You know what the posh food is? Caviar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like, and you've got mail when he like gets the caviar. You're like, oh, he's rich and mean.
Yeah.
I've had caviar once. Couldn't tell you what it tasted like.
No, I was very hungover and tried it. It's just fishy, the one I had.
Yeah. Well, it's fish eggs, isn't it?
Yeah. Which explains it.
So you're basically eating fish, period.
Yeah.
There you go. But they used to have it at like college balls in the Shelburne. It'd be part of your salmon starter and they just put a bit of caviar on it and you'd just be eating it. But like you'd have had like a naggin. So
two things
you just be there like, "I'm having caviar." Yeah. Yeah, but I like them all. Arabella's kind of to point out Arabella's a bad person, the various things they had, you know, blonde, curly hair. That she gets angry when one of her handbags is knocked over under a car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Insists she knows where the plate's from.
Yeah.
And Jules knows.
And Jules knows. And then, like, the way they make it out that it's, like, some great antique plate and then you turn over and it's a straw knot and, like, gold marker, Christopher, whatever, the designer. And Jules is like, "I knew this was, antiques." And you're like, it looked like something from, like, Paul Costello, John Storrs.
What did you think of the waltz scene? Where he's teaching to waltz.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
That was really the standout moment. Like, that was like insanely cringy, and then it kind of stopped, like it was doing an ad break, and then we were right back into it again. Like, I was hiding behind my hands for that.
Yeah. Mm. And that they had to do like funky dance. They use the word funky, don't they?
Yeah.
I have this. Yeah. He called her surprisingly funky at one point in a kind of touching scene.
Yeah. And I don't know where they got that electric guitar teacher from.
Yeah,
Lichtenstein, but he should be on a register.
Yes, he like Gary Glitter.
So yeah, so at this one point, they're all. So Maddie has the ballerina teacher. Mm-hmm. Then what's the
Milo?
Milo has the terrible electric guitar teacher with like two different electric guitar tracks going on at the same time. Yeah. Meanwhile, the other two are waltzing.
Mm-hmm.
But then gets sick, or then what does she put on?
It sounds like it's from like a rap from a Disney song.
I looked it up.
Yeah. It's not. Is it real?
It's a real rap. It's only been used in that. And like the girls who did the rap have never done anything since.
Okay.
Okay.
But apparently the music in this is a ripoff of, I don't know, check this with legal. Okay. It's a ripoff of the Practical Magic soundtrack.
Oh, which top
I
then, that.
I went to listen to it.
Yeah.
And it is.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So you're just like, they just change a few chords. But the music just throughout is like it. A kind of, I could say an homage to somebody else's hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene was mortifying. I really.
Oh, something I forgot to mention at the start. They use the Christmas hijinks music like at the start of the film. You know, like the Home Alone.
When they're like running out after he's robbed the DVD.
I feel like you need to earn that music a bit more. You can't just go straight into it.
There's a bit of Cheeky Carl of the Bells later as well. So that was another little. Little rip.
And then the big misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, one more thing about the waltz. You know, she messes up his hair.
Yeah.
And then to make him funkier. And then Annabelle comes along and he touches, like, you know, sometimes in that kind of scene, the scene will end and then they'll cut and they'll come back and his hair will be perfect again. He literally just touched the side of his head and his hair reset in real time in front of you because he's so perfect. His hair was all messed up and he touched it and then it was suddenly perfect again, but in front of your eyes. It was like a magic trick. There was no cost.
Supposed to say that, like, look how he is.
It's like this
magic.
Is a perfect Ken doll man. Yeah, pretty
he
much.
He is perfect Terrifying. Ken doll man. He's like the face of Barbara at the moment.
Oh, is he?
That
he's
makes
like
sense.
Country gent Ken.
Yeah.
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 Great then, strong jawline.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And the misunderstanding.
Yeah. The misunderstanding. So what happens is the Christmas Eve ball's all being planned. It's going to be drenched in caviar. And Jules is downstairs looking at lamps and clocks. As she is wont to do. She loves that.
Misses her
and,
job.
Yeah. Looking for meaning in a castle near Lichtenstein.
Mm-hmm.
But she overhears Sam Hune and Roger Moore discussing the guest list. And they're going through, oh, we have to invite this person. And then it gets to one person on the list. And first of all, they'd mention Jules' name. So she thinks they're talking about her. But they're not. They're talking about another woman. But Jules does not notice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how, oh, we can't invite her. And Sam Hune is like, is it because she hasn't got a title, Dad? And he's like, she's a vulgar woman, says Roger Moore. And Jules is just there fixing the clock, her whole world crumbling down around her. And then Sam Hune comes out. He's like, are you okay? And she's like all teary-eyed. She's like, yeah, I'm fine, yeah. And then she flees.
Yeah.
She leaves the kids she's meant to be minding.
Yeah. Yeah, and just decides to leave the country.
Goes.
But also, what was the name of the woman that they're actually talking about?
Her name, because she's my favourite character, is Bunny McCracken.
Beautiful.
And I feel like she's the life and soul of every party.
Yeah.
But like, Roger Moore hates her so much, he can't even say her name aloud. He just looks at it and circles it rather than saying it aloud.
Yeah. What did Bunny do?
I know. Also, Lord and Lady Cromwell are impossible to put down. He said that as well, which I think good.
That was good that
you don't
they
want
just
Lord
had a
Lady
full on
Cromwell.
Like Cromwell in there.
Yeah.
Have you ever like gotten a taxi in London from the airport? Not that I've ever paid for one. I've had to do it for work. Then they go in by Cromwell Road.
Jeez.
And like, I'm just there like,
can we take a different route?
Like, I've always wanted to say, can we take a different route? But I'm always running late because it's an airport. But like, you're going in, you're just like Irish looking at the road sign every few metres. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Why would they name a road after Cromwell? Like, why?
They're proud of him over there.
It'd be like if we like suddenly changed O'Connell Street to Archbishop McQuaid Avenue or something. Just be like, wasn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just forget about it, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, one more important thing about the clock that she fixes.
Yeah.
It's because time is starting again in a castle that's been frozen for so long.
Oh, that's very good.
I just realised that.
Yeah.
It's good to have a little bit of time between talking about these films. Then Milo jumps into another movie and breaks into the Beast's wing of the house from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's his dad's old study.
His archery stuff and picture of his dad. And
it's all dusty. And there's a window open in there the entire time because you can hear the wind whistling.
Did you have a giant study in your parents' house? I didn't, to be honest.
We had like a really messy attic that you didn't want to go into.
Was that yours though? Because that was like his son's study.
These are people who live in a castle.
That's true.
You'd be looking for stuff to do with the rooms, like.
Mm. Yeah. It's weird Airbnb. That the castle is named Castlebury Hall.
Yeah.
It's like calling your house.
I didn't thought the window open was really weird if you're like closing somewhere off, you know, airlock it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Also that was the first time those two really talked, considering it was his uncle.
Besides the archery scene.
Oh, the archery scene, of course. Yeah.
So then Jules is on the run, trying to get out of the country, going back to Buffalo where she belongs.
Yeah.
She seems to have a direct ticket from Castlebury to Buffalo. Version of wasn't great.
Buffalo is a connecting kind of airport, I believe.
Which would explain how her sister and Charles met, because I couldn't understand how a prince from Liechtenstein would meet some commoner from Buffalo. But if there's an airport
Buffalo
there.
I think you fly to Buffalo to fly to, because in Canada, this might be wrong now, but when I was there, it was quite expensive to fly in Canada. And that might have something to do with the airport authority there regulate quite strongly. Yeah. So it was cheaper to get a short flight to Buffalo from Toronto and then fly somewhere else. So Buffalo has a connecting airport, I think. And also it's a Greyhound stop there a lot. Because I had to stop there when I was going to New York. And it was at 4 a.m. at night and it was horrible.
Heard it's a very grim place.
Oh, like I only saw like about 0.1% of Buffalo.
Mm. Yeah.
Wouldn't
recommend.
Yeah.
Or it's a very good antique shop.
I stopped into antiques and stuff. But I remember I had the worst McDonald's of my life, and I love McDonald's. So this was really, I didn't eat McDonald's for a while after.
Mm-hmm.
I got like chicken nuggets there, but like I bit into it and it was like liquid chicken. It's like really soft.
Like kind of hot milk.
Chicken. Do you know what it was like? Do you know the kind of, roast chicken, the fat that collects at the end of the plate after the day? It was kind of like that in a chicken nugget. And you know the way chicken nuggets around the world are standard the same. That's the best thing about McDonald's. Mm-hmm. These were not.
Mm.
And that's why, like, anytime I see the word Buffalo, I don't think Vincent Gallo in his movie. I just think terrible chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Really feel for them there. So she's going back. But the servants are like, we love you, Jules. Mm-hmm. And they intercept her and they have a Debs dress for her.
Yeah.
Which like they paid for.
Dress. Yeah, they paid for.
That's, I'm outraged on their behalf that they felt they had to do that for her.
The only thing that would make her come back to the kids that she's the guardian of is a kind of mermaidy Debs dress that all the staff have paid for.
I feel like Jules' character really betrays itself there when she runs off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like the big misunderstanding could have been resolved in a different way.
It took them a while to resolve it after she came back even, because she comes back and has a bit of a nice time at the party for like 5-10 minutes before she even brings it up.
Yeah.
And I feel like she only brought it up just offhand and she could have just been fine with it. It's like she was over it already.
And while this is happening, Ashton sees Arabella for the bitch she is when she's like, why won't you propose or whatever? And maybe they've been going out years and maybe it's time he bloody well did.
He's been out for 10 years and everyone's like, bad week. Why aren't you getting married yet?
And she's like, I want to be a princess. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, how could you? And they break up and then him and Jules have their dance.
Mm-hmm.
And when they practice
about Arabella as well, she has a bit of the classic, like, obviously you'd be upset by like being broken up with, bit of hysterics in a way, like, look at her, she's gone mad again, she just can't deal with this, but she has just been broken up with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes out and straight away,
like, straight away,
like,
yeah
like less than 30 seconds he's off waltzing with the American girl who's coming off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arabella has her moment where she has done a background check on all the characters. So she's like, Jules got fired from her job in antiques. Milo stole a video game.
How did she find that out? That wasn't reported. He wasn't arrested or anything.
Yeah.
And he gave it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has eyes everywhere.
And then she fat shames little Maddie, who melted Roger Moore's heart. And that child has a trans fats problem. And isn't Maddie having like crisps at the time or something?
Yeah. The only time she's ever eaten crisps in the movie.
And then everyone's like, get out, Arabella.
Meanwhile, Bunny is loitering around.
Yes, we see her first sight of Bunny when he's explaining what happened. And she's just eating a sandwich. She's like, look at that. Bitch, Bunny.
Maybe has like a pink early 2000s haircut.
She's like young Cruella de Vil kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just eating a sandwich. She's not doing anything harmful at all.
I'd expect her to at least be like careening over into like...
putting a few into her purse.
Like a big pyramid of like wine glasses or something.
Oh, Bunny.
But classic Bunny.
When Annabelle, Jesus Christ, is revealing her findings, Bunny looks affronted. She looks shocked and appalled by these Americans.
Yeah.
The cheek of her. So again, I get what she's obviously very judgmental.
Yeah.
So.
And then they all like take on Arabella and it's revealed that Santa is real. Milo says to Maddie, of course Santa is real.
I also have like written with 3 exclamation marks in my notes.
And then we like flash forward a bit and Sam Heughan and Jules are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
He's in the full Prince William.
Yeah,
outfit. And it's a really bad outfit. It's really cheap.
They have like a classic balcony kiss as well.
Yeah. It's unclear if Bonnie McCracken is there. I had a look for her, didn't spot her.
You'd hope that like she would end up, you know, being like in love with some other like peripheral character who was also a bit mad.
Paisley and Bonnie.
Although Paisley and the red-haired maid maybe have a little like kiss on the cheek situation.
I don't think so. I was waiting for that. And I don't think it happened. Oh, just back to Arabella. She's like the Baroness in The Sound of Music in this, isn't she? There's one bit where Roger Moore says to her in front of everyone, "You're all fur and no knickers, and you've never worked a single day in your life."
What if that line just wasn't scripted and everyone was just shocked at Roger Moore?
But like, we never find out what Ashton or Sam Heughan's day job is. Do we?
He's a prince.
Yeah, hunts men.
Yeah.
Wait, we never find out.
Hmm. Oh, also there was the little 007 nod.
Was there?
Yeah, when she's like dressing Milo, or not Milo, God, I keep forgetting the teenager's name.
Milo. Yeah.
My dog.
She's putting a little bow tie on him and she's like, "Now you're right, 007.
Oh.
Little did they know.
The Roger
they
Moore.
Had a 007 right next to him.
I'd say they definitely did.
I'd be like, "Wait, you play James Bond, really? And you're doing this?"
Yeah. But I do like this movie.
I enjoyed it.
Because I've watched a lot of Christmas TV movies, Alan. And I think this is like
a superior top-tier Hallmark film. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
This is a good one. Mm-hmm. You've got a Bond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got a future Scottish Klansman sex pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got an Irish actress who deserves more credit from the Irish press, I believe.
She was very good. Yeah. She looks a lot like Keira Knightley, I think, which might be why she doesn't get as many roles. Because Keira Knightley gets them first, possibly. Anything go for her.
But like we have Sarah Bolger as well in that martial arts TV show. What's it? The shot in Ireland.
Oh, the one with Nick Frost and stuff.
It's Badlands, want that one.
Okay, yeah.
We've her and Orla, she was in Mistresses. Do you hear her?
No.
She's in Badlands as well. But like there's loads of Irish actresses working in the US. And there was a woman, I haven't seen the new Twin Peaks yet, but there's another Irish actress in that.
Yeah.
And
tons.
Eve Hewson is in
Yeah, Eve Hewson, The Nick. That was cancelled. The Nick was good.
It was.
Don't know if you watched The Nick.
I watched the first season and a half. Got a little bit bored of the addiction storyline. So I was like, I'm bored of that part.
But the addiction storyline has like an iconic scene. That I feel like the press didn't talk about much. The bit where he puts coke on her vagina. Did you see that one?
I don't remember that bit.
Okay, I'm going to have to double check that.
Think you would remember it as well.
Yeah, maybe that's
okay, you might have to edit that out.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
We're doing very well to keep a non-explicit rating so far. Yeah.
But then the Nick's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Katie McGrath was good in it. Her accent obviously wasn't great.
Nope.
But... she did a really good job. Her outfits were great.
Would
skin
it been,
looked fab. Hair was
good
amazing.
If she was full on Irish in it. And then that was just, you know, we went with that.
You see, they've got
line.
To get like the Hallmark audience in the States to be into it.
Yeah. And they need to have her sister be in Buffalo as well.
Yeah.
So
the
whole family to move to Buffalo.
Irish illegal immigrants.
Mm, yeah. She wouldn't need to get back into the country then. She left to go to Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
They could have brought like Roger Moore to Buffalo.
Hmm.
oh, that could be a nice kind of...
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have seen the little EU flag on the car.
Yeah.
I don't think the EU flag was cloth either. I think it was like a little paper one, so it wasn't really fluttering that much. I'll have to double
just, like,
check.
Print it out.
I'm just imagining this, yeah. Like little flags you get in like the ploughing match in the EU tent.
Yeah. The ploughing match.
Yeah. That's good. I love the ploughing match. I didn't get to go this year, but I really enjoyed it.
Went in transition year.
Me and Grace went down last year, yeah, and we had a great time.
Any celebs?
Well, like, what's a celeb in the farming world would be different to a celeb, yeah, now, yeah, you know. So Imelle MacDonald, you know her, Farmerette? Mm. She's like a big blogger.
No.
But she'd be kind of posh blogger. Mm. So reading her blog wouldn't be the same as like reading a beauty blogger. You know, you'd be kind of, not that I don't think there's any distinction, but some people would feel better being a follower of Farmerette. Mm-hmm. So she does like really good flat lays of roast potatoes and things.
Very good.
So she was doing a panel at it. The ears to the ground people are there.
Great.
It's really good. We should all go down next year.
Be good crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scragging.
So, do we recommend A Princess for Christmas for your Christmas watching?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
It's
three thumbs up.
Yeah. Really good.
Watch in a group. Mm-hmm. Have a good time.
Nice little teaser for Outlander.
Yeah. You know, everything's going to like kind of go nicely in the end.
So yeah.
Pretty cozy from the off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'll reminisce about your sartorial choices in the late noughties.
Yeah.
Because you'll be like, oh, I had a similar cardigan.
Yeah.
Where is that now?
Maybe like might get into wearing like a long sleeve top under a t-shirt again. That kind of buzz.
Yeah. And belts.
Yeah.
Statement belts. I'd say they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it though.
Yeah, me too.
There
good
we go.
Heart was in the right place.
Except for the funky dancing.
Except for the funky. It has its own charm though.
Didn't like that.
One last thing I did really like about it. Very last scene when she says something about like maybe like being in a monarchy later on or maybe being the king and queen. And he kind of says like, oh, I never mentioned that. Which seems like a really big thing that was overlooked.
Yeah.
In their whole relationship.
Oh, so they would have to mention it to you before you get married because you'd need permission and stuff.
Yeah.
So you'd need all that.
Yeah. Well, all of their legal issues are in the sequel.
Yeah, the rules of succession there are unclear.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like 20th in line for the throne and Katie McGrath and Sam Hugh would have to kill like
that's
loads
why
of people.
The people he's hunting.
They see like all the other people
in line. Yeah.
He has to kill like 19th in line to the throne next.
It's like going
to
be the War of the Roses.
Yeah.
And a girl from Buffalo. Actually, that is like the War of the Roses. Are you familiar with the War of the Roses?
I'm not.
So, now, I forget all the king's name, but the lad who wanted to be king, it all got unsettled because he married a girl who wasn't really that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that upset the whole balance. The White Queen and Philippa Gregory wrote the books, which I'd say they stick to the history of it because I read the Wikipedia and then I read those books and they seem to align fairly quickly. But that's like a guy who wants to take over the crown, but he married a girl who wasn't really of the proper blood.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
So Michael Damian, writer and director of Princess Christmas, hit Gene up for the sequel. And we'll see you next week with another Christmas film. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.